All right. Well, I want to thank Pastor Dameron for inviting me to stand in his pulpit and preach in his place. I'm excited to be here. What a privilege and honor to stand in his place and preach the Word of God to his fine people at Fairhaven Baptist Church. I want to thank also Pastor Dameron, of course, the church, for hosting us in the guest room in the male dorm and through tomorrow mid-morning. Appreciate your kindness in the accommodations there. I'd like to also thank Brother Jeff and Annette Vogelin for the nice lunch this afternoon and the great fellowship in the Lord. And most of all, I'd like to just thank God that I can serve him. Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. Little did I know, and I didn't know, when I pulled off of 49, State Road 49 yesterday and made my left to come to the church, I saw the banner there over there. Well, I guess it's over here in the parking lot, and Brother Armacost met me, and I said, oh, so this is Christian Heritage Month, and he said, no, that was last month, and so, well, I said, well, it just so happens that God's laid a message on my heart to preach on our godly heritage, and he said, oh, that would be great, and so I hope you're not fed up with your Christian heritage, amen? I hope you're not. I hope you're pent up with your Christian heritage. Amen? I hope you are. And then Brother Armacost shared with me yesterday that, and I heard in the announcements that two Sundays from this Sunday, I believe, in 2 weeks, you're going to have your God and Country Day. So I appreciate just the legacy and the preaching on Christian heritage that just runs throughout this place. It's overwhelming to me to see such a legacy of that sort, but I'm awfully thankful for it. So I will be preaching a message tonight on your godly heritage. I didn't know that. I don't hardly ever go online. I make my wife do it because I'm a dinosaur in that area. So, I want this to be a blessing to you. I will do some reading of excerpts, so don't doze off, I'll do some reading. I won't make it long, but it really ties in with the message that God's laid on my heart, so just bear with me in that area. So again, on your godly heritage, and if you would please, and you could, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Joshua chapter number 4. Now I'm going to highlight two passages, basically the same passage or the same question out of Joshua chapter 4, but I want to read the whole chapter so you can capture with me the setting and the context of the two passages I'm going to preach on. Joshua chapter 4, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the Ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. What mean ye by these stones? Your godly heritage. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for this ministry and the people who make it up and have done so over the years. Protect it. Use it mightily into the future. Father, as we wait for the soon return of the Lord, bless all that they do. And Father, may it continue to shine as a lighthouse in this area. I pray for Pastor Dameron, Brother Ramos with the teens tonight, that you would bless them, use them, Father, for your honor and your glory. And now, quiet our hearts. Help me to preach. Give me power from on high. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name, for he alone is worthy. Amen. You may be seated. I thank God for Fairhaven's godly heritage. I mean that. I pastored for over 20 years, 3 churches, not extremely large churches, but I'll tell you what, as I pastored them, I believed in a rather exceedingly large God and put forth expectations to those people that were under my care that God can do anything. And I read of the history of Fairhaven many years ago, and I was always intrigued about how it got started, and I read about anything I can get my hands on about how God is using Fairhaven Baptist Church in college. I've had the privilege of knowing many missionaries that came out of this church, many servants of God who are yet in this church, and when I just thank God for Fairhaven's godly heritage. Now, I'm not trying to flatter you. Don't think that for a moment, because that's really not my nature. I know that there are no perfect churches. Amen? Nor perfect ministries, or for that matter, any perfect pastors. I know that. But yet, Fairhaven has a godly heritage. And as I look across this land and travel many miles of this land and look at the social climate that's prevailing in our country today, it just thrills my soul and warms me over with a great faith in God and a hope in God that there are yet churches just like Fairhaven, and that are having a godly heritage, that are maintaining a godly heritage, that are striving for a godly heritage. I don't know about you, but I'm burdened for America. Amen? I really am, and I've always been burdened for America. And I'm not saying that because I'm an evangelist or I'm a preacher, or that's what they're supposed to say. I've been telling folks that I run into just in the last 5 to 10 years. I'm 65 today, and not today for my birthday, but I'm 65 as of right now. And I'm growing up in a country that, when I say growing up, going forward, I'm living in a country that I didn't grow up in. I mean that. You say, well, don't you have it? Hasn't God taken care of you? Yes, he has. Will he? Yes, he will. Isn't God using you? Yes, he has. Will he? I trust that he will by the grace of God in my life, in my full surrender. Amen. But yet, I'm really living in a foreign country. It grieves me. Now, when I say a foreign country, I've been in America all my life except for a preaching trip into Hamilton, Ontario. But I'm just thankful for churches and preachers that are maintaining a godly heritage. Back in the late 90s, I was deeply impressed of the Lord when I first visited. I was excited to be here, just like I have been ever since I've been invited back. I've been impressed, not by people, although that's true too, but impressed by what God can do through his servants. I really have. It brought joy to my heart to see what God was doing here back in the late 90s. Your home, I trust, has a godly heritage. This nation, we know, was founded on godly principles, the Word of God. Amen? This church has that godly heritage. And we need to do everything we can to maintain it. Can you say amen to that? Now, history is, in my opinion, is a chronology of events from the past. That's history. Now, a heritage is an acquired appreciation for the principles and values that formed our past. And we're living in a day and age in America where you hear the phrase, and I'm not too much into what the social media people are saying, hardly at all, or what the news prognosticators are saying, but I do read, I try and stay informed of all that's going on so I can address it and I can resist it. You hear that phrase, cancel culture, tossed around a lot now, right? Well, our heritage as God's people, it's an acquired appreciation for the principles and values that formed our past. This cancel culture movement is hypocrisy. Behind it are wicked motives behind the smokescreen of cancel culture. That's what it is. And I just want to challenge us tonight to develop and maintain and continue to strive for a godly heritage. Amen? You say, preacher, we know all about that. I know you do. But it's under attack, greatly under attack. There's a diabolical scheme originating from Satan himself and authored by those that are his servants to cancel our godly heritage in America. In no way in the world can we stand by and let it take place. Amen? We just cannot. So I just want to challenge us on that. Now, let me just give you a little background here. We learned about F.B. Meyer from Brother Brady this morning at the beginning of the auditorium Sunday school class. I was intrigued to hear it. I love reading F.B. Meyer. I've got several of his periodicals and his books myself. I love reading about him. But I'll give you a little bit of commentary on this text from F.B. Meyer. He talks about these memorial stones that we see here in Joshua chapter 4. He says these 12 stones were brought up from the Jordan and erected in Gilgal. They gave fathers the opportunity of telling their children of the miraculous passage of the river. We too, through our Lord, have passed through the waters of death on the resurrection ground. Let the great deliverances of God wrought for our fatherland, as well as those wrought for us personally in Christ, be frequent subjects of family talk. 12 other stones were placed in the riverbed and would be visible when the waters were low. There was a visible demonstration, therefore, that Israel was really once in these depths. And that's what a lot of our historical monuments depict and illustrate, that we were in the certain depths as a nation, like the Civil War. We must not forget the rock out of which we were hewn. Let us never cease to magnify God's grace. The presence of the ark alone restrained the piled up waters. Thus Jesus stands between us and whatever would overwhelm us, especially sin and death. So what mean ye by these stones? Joshua was commanded to have the priest set up two monuments of 12 stones. And the question was purposely to be addressed with those that came after them, for the nation of Israel forever, that what mean ye by these stones? And tonight, it's so important for us to consider that ourselves. When they're trying to, this cancel culture, this wicked agenda, this smokescreen of using a lot of different forums to try and destroy our nation's heritage that was founded upon God, we need to understand that these monuments, we're not a perfect nation. We've never been a perfect nation. But yet, our heritage and acquired appreciation for the principles and values that formed our past, we need to stand up for those in the light of what's going on. Amen? We need to do that. I came across a column several weeks ago, and it would have been towards your Christian Heritage Month in the month of July. He's a writer in the Sunday Chicago Tribune, the Sunday Chicago Tribune. His name is John Cass. He's since been moved from the inside of the front page to the back pages. But he wrote this: who controls the past controls the future. And let me read some of the excerpts, if I would. Please try and stay with me. He says this is his favorite saying that he's come across in light of what's going on. Here it is: who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. The author's name who wrote that was none other than George Orwell in his novel 1984. Perhaps you wonder if it should be read again. You shouldn't. To refresh yourself on the cancel culture and thought crime and the erasing and sculpting of history. You might even apply the novel to the anger you see around you and constantly in the news. That anger isn't about George Floyd. The toppling of statues and the destruction of history have little to do with George Floyd, a black man killed by a white Minneapolis police officer just weeks ago. We're far beyond George Floyd now. On Independence Day 2020, July 4th, a little over a month ago, you might consider that all of this, as Orwell warned, is about erasing the past to control the future. Amen? America did not begin in 1619, as the left and its scribes of the New York Times insist. America began on July 4th, 1776, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths, he says, to be self-evident. That's the declaration. That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But were all men equal? No. Black people were held as slaves in the South. Even George Washington had slaves. But the Declaration of Independence was a light in the darkness of the world, and it allowed for the possibility of great change. And we fought a bloody civil war to end slavery. Of the many statutes being toppled lately, including those of abolitionists, consider the one of President Ulysses S. Grant. He fought for racial justice. He was the general who won the Civil War, yet his statue was also destroyed by one of those angry mobs of the left who are now the shock troops of the Democratic Party in the 2020 elections. I don't mean to be controversial, Brother Vogelin. I'll leave that to Brother Dupre. Hey, Professional Democratic politicians understand this. Even though the mob might not grasp that what they're really doing is toppling idols, as the Taliban did recently, as early Christians did centuries ago, theirs is a religious movement, the left, with government as the altar. Those who oppose them are damned as heretics. Even a statue of President Abraham Lincoln, the Republican who signed the Emancipation Proclamation, is under attack. But it was Lincoln, one of our greatest presidents, who wrestled with that line in the Declaration about all men created equal. He wrestled with that. In 1857 in Springfield, he said it was promised to future generations. They meant to set up a standard maxim for free society, which should be familiar to all and revered by all, constantly looked to, constantly labored for, and even though never perfectly attained, constantly approximated, and thereby constantly spreading and deepening its influence in augmenting the happiness and value of life to all people of all colors everywhere. A standard maxim constantly labored for, a guiding star for free people to follow. That sounds realistic and just and right. The white Union soldiers fighting the slave states in that Civil War, dying and wounded, their guts eaten by hogs, understood. The black fighter pilots of the Tuskegee Airmen doing battle in the skies of World War II, they understood. What sounds wrong and unjust is the destruction of history by a mindless mob. You young people, listen to me. And the rewriting of that history by those who are not mindless in the least and who direct and benefit from the actions of the mob. There's no freedom at the end of it, no liberty. And that is by design. Who controls the past controls the future. And God told Joshua, you erect those stones, those monuments. And there to be a memorial to Israel forever. That your children that come after you might ask, what mean ye by these stones? Thank God for young people and people all scattered through this auditorium and the legacy of Fairhaven Baptist Church and College and its striving under Pastor Dameron and all the others to go. Thank God that a godly heritage means something to you folks. Amen? Thank God for that. I do. I want to challenge you tonight real briefly on your godly heritage. Three simple points I want to give you. Nothing astounding. I'm not deep. I'm simple. We've got a lot of deep theology. We just need some simple neology. You can trouble him. 3 points. Be thankful for your godly heritage. Amen? Don't go with the rolling tide. Don't get into your houses and lock your doors and seal up your houses and pull your shades, as the prophet said in the Old Testament, and just say, well, we're going to ride this out. We'll stay insulated from it, but we'll never fall prey to it. I think there's a risk in that attitude. There's a risk in that attitude. Be thankful for your godly heritage. And you say, well, preacher, I am. I've been down the road for years, and I love America. Brother Dupre, if you're here tonight, I appreciated the fact that you love America in spite of all its imperfections. And you won't waver from what Granddaddy taught you. But be thankful for your godly heritage. 2 Peter 1:1 says that we have a like precious faith. Amen? 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, and I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, for he hath enabled me, counting me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul knew that the only person he could think that somewhere down the road he heard the gospel from his grandmother or his mother or both, and they carried on the legacy of God in their lives, and he heard the gospel and he got saved, but he didn't major on his apostleship. He didn't major on his missionary evangelism. He didn't major on any of that. He majored on God and where he came from and what God had brought him to. And he said, I thank God who hath enabled me. Be thankful for your godly heritage. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says this, I am what I am by the grace of God. A little humbling, isn't it? Be thankful for your godly heritage. I mean it. I am Brother Dupre. I don't know if I've ever met him. He came up to me this morning before I came up here, and he acted like he knew me, like he was my brother or something. Is that just him? Is it? I don't know, but I looked at his face closely because I'm pretty good on names and past acquaintances, and I said, I did it again. I said, I'm thinking maybe I should know this guy. But I didn't, but he says, are you a patriot? He must have saw that I am. And he said, well, good. I think you're going to like my testimony today. And you know what? I did. I think he meant every word of it. Don't you? Amen and amen. But he was thankful for his godly heritage. Be thankful for it. You know, we live in a nation of ingrates. There's people in churches, good churches, that struggle to find any reason to be thankful for something other than what someone might give them. Be thankful for your godly heritage. I'm thankful. I didn't have one. But in November of 1977... I met the Lord, and he's sweet, I know. Storm winds have come and storm winds have blown, but he's always been Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? Be thankful for your godly heritage. Number two, be true to your godly heritage. One day you may move on down the road. Many of you purpose to do that. I mean, as God leads you. You're going to be challenged. I'm going to be challenged. We could get swept up with the rolling tide. We could take the risk of saying, well, we'll just pull our shades, lock our doors, seal up our houses, keep money in our bags, and wait it out. As I said just a few moments ago, what a tragic risk that is. In fact, we've come this far today, probably in America, because of too many people taking that risk. Be true to your godly heritage. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he said this, he said, I don't know the things as he was gathering the pastors of Ephesus together as he was going to be moving on. And he said, I don't know all the things that are going to befall me, but I do know that as I move on, bonds and afflictions will abide with me. But he said this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that I've received of the Lord. Be true to your godly heritage. Amen? You got God. I'd love to be here. God, I've preached in churches for many years on the July 4th weekend. I'm not into criticizing churches. I'm just telling you how it affects me, okay? And I know there may not be a lot of talent in some of those churches. If it's for Jesus, and I believe in preparation, but just a lack of hunger an appetite in some of the churches where, during the July 4th weekend, to erect testimony and songs and preaches, messages that serve as memorials to our God. It's sparse nowadays. But not here. Thank God. Amen? Be thankful for your godly heritage. Be true to your godly heritage. And lastly, be tough because of your godly heritage. Tough. I love reading that old, forgive me if it bothers you, that Southern Baptist itinerant evangelist Vance Hafner. And I know why Daniel didn't get chewed up in the lion's den. I know why. Because God stopped the mouths of the lion. But Vance used to say, you want to know why? Another reason why those lions didn't get Daniel in the lion's den? Because all he was grit and backbone. There was no meat on him. All he was grit and backbone. Be tough because of your godly heritage. If you would, turn with me back to Joshua chapter number 1 just for a moment, please. Notice what Joshua is commanded. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Notice he's told, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only, again, just another reverberation to Joshua. I mean, come on, was he hard of hearing or did whoever was telling him, and I know who, stutter? But he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. My friend, be thankful for your godly heritage. Be true to your godly heritage and be tough because of your godly heritage. And then turn over with me, to a familiar passage of Scripture. Keep your finger in Joshua chapter number 4. Go over to the book of Ephesians, if you would, my beloved friend. The book of Ephesians. You're familiar with it. That's some of the problem today. You know, some of the problem in our churches today, and I appreciate Brother Vogelin and Brother Armacost illustrating to a small degree some of what God's used me to do in the ministry. I appreciate that. But one of the problems that is so apparent today is we appreciate our godly heritage. We talk about our godly heritage. We get somewhat dejected when it's threatened. Well, we rise up and all of a sudden show courage when it looks like it might be totally ripped out from underneath us by a God-hating, diabolical scheme. But we have to be on the firing line all the time. I love that song, Sound the Battle Cry. Amen? My first church was Crossroads Baptist Church down in Gilman, Illinois. Little storefront building over here was a real estate office. Right over here next to it was the tavern. But boy, we trusted God and did a work there. And I had my first Faith Promise Missions Conference, and I had a missionary evangelist come in, and I had a theme song for my missions conference. It was Hold the Fort for Missions. I thought it was a good song. I thought it was a good theme. It is a pretty good song, I guess. I say pretty good because after he took me aside, I kind of changed my mind a little bit. But I loved the man. He took me aside after about 3 nights, and he was preaching the missions conference, and he said, hey, Brother Zingri. He was nice, but kind of gnarly. But I appreciated that he cared for me. He says, listen, we're not supposed to be holding the fort for missions. We're supposed to be sounding the battle cry. Can we change that theme song? Glory to God, we did. Amen? We did. I learned. Ephesians chapter number 6, if you would please, verses 11 and 13. 11 through 13, my friend. You know this. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the strategies of the devil. Hey, my beloved friend, no church, no preacher, no believer, and we've got to bind together, but none of us in and of ourselves are any match for the strategies of the devil. Amen? We're not, but put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And notice verse 13. Oh, I read a message I came across it years ago. It's still in my file or files or boxes, but you give me maybe 8 hours and I'll find it. I don't know if I'd pass preacher boy class here because my files would just, but I'll find it. I will. I'll find it. If not, well, bless God, I'll come close to dying trying to find it. I'll say, well, God didn't want me to do it. You preacher boys, you might not want to try that. I read that message by Ian Paisley, having done all to stand. The title is Stand Ye Therefore. Ian Paisley. Moved my heart. But look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Stay with me. And having done all to stand. Having done all. Be thankful for your godly heritage. Be true to your godly heritage and be tough because of your godly heritage, having done all to stand. I think that's the goal. I might be wrong. I believe you're training servants. You're allowing God to grow a church here for the past 50 years, I believe. But if I've read the history close enough, and I got a little letter from Pastor Dameron on the desk in the guest room, and I've read that letter many times before. But I opened that up and I read it again, and I've read it many times before. And it was just the same thing. Fairhaven Baptist Church was started in 1970. And then it moved to an academy and then to a college. I've read that, but I read it again, and you know what it did? It made me thank God for the godly heritage that's been built here. It did. There's a road south of Morris, or goes through Morris, goes all the way from Morris up to almost the Wisconsin border. You're probably familiar with it, Route 47, Interstate 80 and Route 47. And, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, going westbound on Gardner Blacktop, a country road, must have been in the afternoon, a woman who just left the tavern and had several DUIs before, blew through that Gardner Blacktop in a drunken stupor as she was driving. And they were coming northbound on 47 was a young mother and her two children. I think the one child was 3, the other one was less than 1. She blew through that intersection and killed all 3 of them. And as I travel that way oftentimes to go preach, I can't help but notice to my right as I'm going south at Gardner Blacktop and Route 47, right off yonder, right off the road, by the cornfield, as close to the road as legally possible to do, is a great big monument that her beloved husband had erected for her. I'm telling you, folks, it's just not a cross with flowers next to it. It's the size of this pulpit from here up and down, and it's on posts, and it's got the picture of the mother. It's got the picture of the little girl, 3 years old, and it's got the picture of the one-year-old. And it says, in memory of. Now, when I pass by that, I get angry. I do. Not to where I go ballistic. But the emotions start with anger. See, evil produced that monument. But then it turns to sadness. Look what precious life was taken. Look what that man lost. Evil produced that monument. I get angry. But sadness erected that monument. That as I pass by it, I'm overwhelmed with respect for the man who erected that monument to it as a memorial to his dear wife and his two little children. Respect is the legacy of that monument. All my emotions. Yeah, you know, there are some things that have happened in America, will continue to happen in America. They happen sometimes in churches. You know that. That bring forth emotions. But should that mean we should step away from what brought us to the place we are? Does that mean that we should cancel any negative associations with it? No. That anger may arise. Sadness may set in. When we can respect the legacy of that monument, that memorial. And you see in Joshua chapter 4, he erect those stones. Let them be a memorial forever to the nation of Israel of what God did. That your children, when they ask you, will say, what mean ye by these stones? I want to read to you the last couple of verses. I know I've already read them. Of Joshua chapter 4, verse 21 again, and this is kind of a good culmination point. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? You know, folks, you're a heritage. What God has brought us through and what God has brought us to. And what God promises to do into the future is worth being thankful for. It's worth being true to. It's worth being tough because of it. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Look at verse 24. I like this. I get glory bumps. I think my skin is too thick to ever get goosebumps anymore. But I get some glory bumps because I want the whole earth to know that God is an almighty God. Amen? Amen? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You've probably heard about the French statesman Alexis de Tocqueville. You have, huh? Studied the workings of democracy in the early part of the 19th century in order to understand America's success. He then wrote, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her public school system and her institutions of learning, and it was not there. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I'm not trying to inspire you, but why not? I hope you're not beyond inspiration. Your godly heritage, your home, your church, your nation, Fairhaven Baptist Church, Academy and College. Be thankful for it. Be true to it. And be tough because of it. And like I preached this morning, sometimes I've learned sometimes the best response when is hardly anybody comes. But I would encourage you, if this message, no matter how simple it was, has spoken to you, why not come and thank God for your godly heritage and trouble God over the state of America? And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. A seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. And if he wants you more than you want him, and he does, why don't you just come and take him just as he is? Humble yourself like a little child and take Christ as your Savior. Trouble him. Trouble him for your nation. Trouble him for your children. Erect some stones in your life. And I know you have, where your children will say, "What mean ye by these stones?" Let's stand, heads bowed.